We love sustainability, and so does Macy's. Join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak on 34th, Elemis, and more. Plus, to help bring more parks to more people, Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project, transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help ensure healthy, livable communities for generations to come. Donate online or in store and learn more at macys.com/purpose.
Tired of fighting your kids to make their bed? Say hello to Betty's. The unique design lets your kids make their bed with just a zip. Our patented bedding includes everything you need, a fitted sheet, top sheet, and comforter in one seamless piece that zips together. Kids love the feeling of accomplishment when they can make their bed by themselves every day. Make your mornings easier and visit Beddys.com. That's BEDDYS.com.
Sashir!
Nicole!
It's the end of the month. Did you like January?
What a good month we had.
Oh, yum, yum, yum. I liked it so much.
Should we talk about our Bahamas trip?
Oh, yeah. Let me open my notes app because anytime I have told the story to someone, I've like missed things. Mm-hmm. So I'm very happy to have my trusty notes app that we made. I almost forgot that we went to the Bahamas.
I think maybe your brain's going into like protection mode to like protect yourself from all that we went through.
I mean, honestly, maybe it was not good.
It was quite wild. It did feel like we were being tested every step of the way.
It really did. And when I got home, I was not well rested. I didn't feel good. I got home and I was like, I'm even more tired.
Okay.
So we decided to go to the Bahamas, I think, in November.
I think so. Something like last fall. Yeah.
Yeah. And I had Lindsay, my wonderful assistant, send Airbnb rentals to us. Mm-hmm. And we picked one. Mm-hmm. The pictures were so good.
Mm-hmm. It was right on the water.
Yes. You could walk to the beach and be in the water. Mm-hmm. There was a pool.
Oh, a little pool, a private pool for us.
A private pool, just for us friends. Mm-hmm. So we get on the flight. It's filled with screaming babies. One baby was screaming so hard, and the mom dragging her was like, I took her goldfish away. And we were like, give it back.
give her the goldfish back, please.
Why?
If you know the answer.
Why did you take this?
Fix it.
Yeah, fix it. I know you don't want your children to run your life, but like, give them back for all of us. And then a child was kicking Mateo as we were getting off. Oh, wait, before we got off, Delta. I love Delta. I'm a diamond diva. I want to be Ed Skybaby badly. I follow him on Instagram. but he served us food in a gift box.
Oh, yeah. We had little boxes instead of like a full meal. And then they were also like, well, Mateo's had his thing. Like, we weren't supposed to see it because it was like a plastic bag of grapes. Loose grapes.
It was loose grapes, not even on the vine. And he so the choice was smoked salmon, banana bread, that's not a meal, and a ham and cheese croissant. And that's how our flight attendant said it.
And we were like, ooh, a croissant. Okay, exotic.
It was a ham and cheese croissant, but it was in a bag that wasn't closed. Nothing was sealed in Mateo's box.
Something of mine was a plastic bag. So I don't know if there's...
Wait, really?
No. I had like banana bread. It was like in a box.
Wait, that's so funny. I thought everybody's came in weird bags.
Mine had no bags.
That's so funny. Oh my God. Then we land and we get to the airport and I get a message from the woman who's checking us in. And she says, are you at the airport? And I said, yes, we're at the airport. She said, so am I. I said, great, we're just going to pick up our luggage. And then we get outside. I text her like 4 times, nothing. I call her like 5 times, nothing. And then I was like, Mateo, you have a number too, right? And he said, yes. So he calls and they're like, oh, you have to take a shuttle. And I said, a shuttle? Nobody told me about a shuttle. I just told you when we were landing and that you said that someone would be here. And then the shuttle man was like, take a selfie so I know who I'm picking up.
Send me a picture of yourself. Where we're like, or you could just tell us what your car looks like.
Yeah.
Give us a license plate number.
Come to you.
A make and model. So we took a beautiful selfie of ourselves to send to this stranger.
Who then arrived in a dirty, dinged up gray van. And
yeah, I also had all my luggage, like everything I've ever owned, because I was going straight from the Bahamas to Atlanta for work. So I had like 2 huge suitcases and then a backpack, and everyone else had suitcases too. And the van just had every seat up and there was no trunk space. And I was like, do you want to put the back seat down so we can put the luggage in? And he goes, no, it's fine. And then chucks my biggest bag over a seat.
Your 100-pound suitcase or 80-pound, yeah, however big it was, just between the headrests while he just threw it. And then I was like, oh, better keep my backpack. I don't want.
I had set my backpack down for it to be put in there, but I was like, I don't want him chucking my laptop. So I just kept my backpack with me.
He drives okay, but like not great. And he's like, you can open the windows if you want. And I was like, couldn't possibly ever guess how to open one of these windows.
Yeah, I think you asked too, and he just turned the little music up.
And then Mateo was like, these seats are all set the worst way. Like, I was sitting in his lap and I couldn't figure out how to move it. Then we get to the Airbnb. It is covered in rust.
Yeah.
The outside is just so rusty.
Yes.
And this man threw our suitcases. We were catfished. Mm-hmm. We were shown a beautiful place, mm-hmm, and then the worst place we've ever been.
Yeah.
But the hallway leading to the living room, I was like, you know what? That's like nice. This might be nice inside. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I think that's what they did. They were like, listen, the outside may be bad, but this hallway, mm-hmm, this hallway is going to lead to good things. Mm-hmm. It didn't.
It really didn't. There were stains everywhere. There were like towels or like some sort of cloth covering some cushions on the couch. It wasn't uniform at all.
When I finally looked under the towels, it was more stains. Mm-hmm. The worst stains were covered with a towel. Mm-hmm. And then the lovely lady checking us in, I won't say her name, that's not kind, but she comes in, immediately kicks off her sandals and starts like toeing the floor. She sat down and her toes are going up and down on the floor. And she tells us, she's like, okay, so you guys are here for Junkanoo, which is, we later found out, a festival, a cultural fucking festival that happens every year. And it hadn't happened for 2 years since COVID had hit. And it was a big deal that it was happening again. And she was like, yeah, families dance and you gotta look it up. It's an all day event, but you gotta look it up. Junkanoo is fun, but you gotta look it up. And we're like, okay. And
then like, she didn't. Why can't you explain it?
Yeah, you live here. You've lived here, I think, your whole life.
She's like, and then she's fine. You should just look it up.
Then she told us her favorite places to eat, which buses we should take. And I was like, check us in and get the fuck out. And she was like, these are my new best friends.
Yeah, she like buckled in. Also, I was like, why isn't this information just in a pamphlet on the table? She was like verbally telling us everything as if we're going to remember. I was like, I'm not going to know the bus system that you're talking about right now. Write it down. Yeah. And I look it up myself.
Write it down. And then she like told us the Wi-Fi by mouth. Like, yeah, nothing was written down in this house.
And then she was like, we don't have any shampoo here or conditioner or extra toilet paper or paper towels or like, there was nothing there. It was an empty house.
Just stains.
Just nothing but stains. And they didn't have laundry detergent.
No. Yeah, no fucking laundry sauce to clean anything.
No laundry sauce.
And then then she goes, huh, I gotta give you a key, but I don't know where the keys are. And then she starts touching our stuff. And I was like, we all got here before you, so that key's not under our things. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, yes, but I need to find the key. And I was like, okay. And then this is after she made me like give her my passport, my driver's license, my whole identity for her to steal. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, it's Airbnb's policy. And I was like, well, is it Airbnb's policy to lose a key? Mm-hmm. And she didn't like that. She didn't like that at all.
Yeah, you went to sassy mode.
Oh, she deserved. Mad at this woman.
Yeah.
And when she finally left, she was like, maintenance happens on Tuesdays. And blah, blah, blah. We were like, wait, that all seems important.
Yeah, that was important information. You were wasting our time with other stuff, but now you're like rushing out, like, okay, maintenance, da, 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 they're closed at this time. Bye. And then we were like, how do we get cabs? And she was like, go through me. And we were like, we never want to talk to you again. Is there any other way?
She did say that. Oh, just let me know and I'll get you a cab.
What? No, we don't want to let you know anything.
You told me you were at the airport. You were not at the airport. So you're going to be at the cab is there, but the cab is not going to be there. I don't trust you.
Mm-mm.
Also, she didn't know that we had like a chef for the week. We had a chef for the week because we were like, let's be opulent. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I don't know about this. And Mateo was like, but I spoke to you. And she was like, no, I don't have any of this on my side. He's like, I paid for it. And she's like, never heard of a chef in my life. What is a chef? It was truly wild.
It was wild.
But then she like figured it out. And we did have a chef who came. Oh, wait, no. Before that, you guys go to get things that we need.
Me, Mateo, and Christy were like, we're going to go to the convenience store. We're going to walk, get some stuff. And then you were like, I'm going to take a shower. You're going to take just a water shower.
A soapless shower.
Because again, there was no amenities.
Nothing. I just needed some alone time because I was like, I cannot believe this is the house we're in. Oh, also, everyone had gone upstairs while she was there, while I was dealing with her. And then when I finally went upstairs, I was like, the floor's not done. I was like, the staircase isn't finished and everyone seems okay with this. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I guess I just gotta like be okay in this house. I'll take a soapless shower.
Now, I think we were all like reeling from this. We were like, but like, who's gonna say it first? Who's gonna say this house sucks and we don't wanna be here first? And so we walked to the store. And Mateo was also like, is Nicole going to be mad if we say we don't like it? And I was like, I think she's on the same page. She looks displeased. I can't imagine she's attached to this house. But and also everything is super expensive in the Bahamas because they import everything from America. So like a bottle of shampoo was like $15. And yeah, we just like bought what we could and got some snacks. And they bagged it up for us and then we walked back to the house. We were looking at the horizon. Actually, no, you were looking at the horizon because you got out of the shower and you looked like you were going to jump off of the ledge. And then,
well, I kept looking at the ocean being like, this is nice. The ocean is nice.
Yes.
This is great. And then you, Mateo, and Christy come out. And Mateo's like, first he was like, the beach is a prison beach. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, you can see it from here. And the beach, this thing they called the beach, was just a gap between townhouses that mm-hmm. if you went swimming, you would be pulled out and you would die. You would just, like, it was so wild.
The waves were so choppy. There were huge uh-huh. rocks underneath us. Like, there's no way you could actually swim in that water. I don't know why they were like... The beach is close. No, we were going to die.
Yeah, we'll pass right away. And then I don't know who said it first, but they were like, this place is bad, right? And I was like, yes, yes, it's awful. It's awful. We can't stay here. And then our chef comes mm-hmm. and she makes us a delicious meal that mm-hmm. costs $855 because she had bought groceries for the week and we only stayed for a day. Also, we were supposed to get two meals that day and we only got one.
Yeah.
But it was very delicious.
It was a delicious meal. That was the highlight of the day because we were very sad and angry.
But then yes. we're like, at least we have this wonderful meal. But also, when she was there, she discovered that the fridge was broke. So she was like,
oh, yeah.
It was like leaking.
And it was leaking and making this horrible noise. It was like,
yeah. And then she was like, you know, these apartment or these houses are all like this. Like the owners don't live here. They don't care about these buildings and they're kind of all falling apart. So I'm not surprised. And we were like, oh, mm-hmm. we are. Oh,
yeah. She was like, yeah, I listen to people complain all the time. And I was like, oh, my God, this won't do. Mm-hmm. So I hop on Airbnb and I was like, listen, this isn't good. And to their credit, they were like, take some pictures. So I took pictures and beautiful Timothy goes, even I wouldn't stay there. And I was like, thanks, Timothy. So Timothy refunded me all of my money.
Thank goodness.
And then sent a couple other options, but they're all like two bedrooms, teeny tiny. And we were like, Timothy, no, too small. Mm-hmm. So then Christy and Mateo are like, hey, we're going to go home. And we were like, what? they gave up. They said we shan't be staying in Bahamas. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, but I want a vacation. I flew here. I haven't seen a beach. Mm-hmm. I want to see more of Bahamas. So yeah. We decided to stay. Then we both contacted our publicist being like, do you think we could get like a discount at a hotel or something?
We're trying
and then
every
they
else.
Were like, but then Jimmy Buffett has a Margaritaville resort in Bahamas and they had two rooms open.
Yeah.
Literally the only place in Bahamas that had rooms open and there was only two.
Yeah.
And I said to Christy Mateo, I was like, there's two rooms open. Do you want to get one of those rooms? And they're like, we're literally leaving tomorrow. We have booked our flights. So we're like, okay.
Which, like, I think all options are correct. You and I were like, sure. We came for a vacation. We're going to get a vacation. And mm-hmm. Mateo, Christy, I think we're like, look, we had a hard year, or not a hard year, but like we had a year where we worked very hard and mm-hmm. we want to celebrate that. And we don't want to spend the rest of the trip in Bahamas figuring out the trip in Bahamas. And mm-hmm. so they're like, that's what they chose. They left. And you
that's
and I were
a
like,
wrap.
We're going to figure this out.
We're going to do this. Mm-hmm. So we get that room at Margaritaville. Mm-hmm. And then you were like, let's go get a drink at SLS, which is a big hotel. It's wild. The hotels in Bahamas are like Vegas casinos.
Yeah.
They're enormous. Mm-hmm. And literally have casinos in them. They're crazy. So I call a taxi company and I was like, hi, can you pick us up from da 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 da? And this man goes, how many of you are there? And I said, four. And he went, no, you're those same people from yesterday. And I laughed. I was like, no, I'm not. And he's like, you're all the same motherfuckers from yesterday. You motherfuckers were so fucking rude to me. Don't you fucking dare call. And I was like, wait a minute. I was like, what? And so she was doing something. She walked past and she was like, wait, what?
I was like brushing my teeth and I was like, what?
Mateo was like, let me talk to him. I was like, what are you going to do? Fight him through the phone? And then he hung up on me. And I was like, oh, my God. And then I called another cab company. They didn't pick up. The next one I called, she was like, where are you? I told her. And she's like, I ain't got no drivers, but I'm going to get me a bite to eat. And then I come get you. It'll be 30 minutes. And I was like, 30 minutes? No, we'll try something else. I called four more companies. Nobody would come get us.
Yeah.
So we were like, okay, I guess we stay in this awful Airbnb all night.
This is like, it felt like Bahamas didn't want us there. This was like one of many times throughout the trip where it felt like the Bahamas was like, we just don't want you here.
Don't
get the heck
you here. Yeah, just fucking leave, you idiot.
We will not help you.
But then Christy's fiance's best friend's cousin who lives in Bahamas somehow had a hookup at Comfort Suites on Paradise Island, which is like 20 minutes away from where the Airbnb was. So he comes for us in this Volvo. A Volvo is not big.
At
all. Sashir has 2 80-pound suitcases. I have like a 62-pound suitcase because I packed my whole life to come here for no reason. Mateo has a giant suitcase. Everyone has big suitcases. So he puts Ken in the trunk and then we all have to hold our suitcases.
I was in the front seat and I could turn around and only see people's eyeballs. Like suitcases were literally up to their eyeballs.
And then he takes us to Comfort Suites, mm-hmm. and Comfort Suites was clean at least. Like mm-hmm. it smelled like bleach had been spilled, mm-hmm. like things had been wiped down, dusting had happened, and I was like, the lighting not optimal. It was you know, a Comfort Suites
furniture outdated, but we can't
very
complain.
Outdated.
We didn't want to sleep in that other place at all. I was like, I don't want to rest my head.
Yeah. P.S. The other place, there was like, no, there was stains on the headboard.
Yeah.
There was like, it was funky.
Yeah.
There was just, Jordan, I'll show you pictures later. It was fucking disgusting.
Yeah.
But Comfort Suites was our savior. and they had a comfy bed. So I guess yeah. it was a comfort suite.
It was a comfortable suite.
We went by the pool. We had a drink. It was a nice time. Mm-hmm. And I really thought Mateo and Christy maybe would stay. I mm-hmm. was like, come on. This was like an adventure. Don't you want to stay? And they were like, our flights are booked. Goodbye.
Mm-hmm. And they couldn't have been happier to leave. Skipping yes. out the door.
Yes. And yeah, then... truly the next morning they skipped. They skipped into our room. And they were like, okay, bye. And we're like, oh, but we're going to go down and eat breakfast. And they were like, door slam. And we're like, okay, see you later.
Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Lawmakers who oppose abortion are attacking Planned Parenthood, which means affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake. The right to control your own body and get the health care everyone needs has been stolen. And now, politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills that will block people from getting the sexual and reproductive care they need. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves health care. It's a human right. That's why they fight every day to push for common sense policies that protect your right to control your own body and against policies that interfere with decisions between patients and their doctor. Planned Parenthood needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, you can help reclaim your rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future. That's PlannedParenthood.org/future.
So listen. We all know life is full of yada, yada. And, you know, people talk and you're just like, oh, my God, this is annoying. And then you just hit an unsubscribe on a bunch of things you got subscribed to on your email. And you're like, what is happening? And I know you've dealt with yada, yada before. Like when companies have those sneaky gotchas hiding in the deep in fine print, or bills that seem to keep going up for no dang reason. Or when budget airlines promise a cheap fare, but then charge you for every little thing until you realize you're paying more than you would have elsewhere. And yes, it's possible to outsmart yada yada, like triple checking airline deals to make sure all you need is already included. You don't take yada yada in life. Don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Metro by T-Mobile has no contracts, no credit checks, no surprises, and nada yada yada. Stop by one of our over 6,000 Metro stores nationwide.
I don't wear makeup often, but when I do, I want to make sure I can use products that work for my skin and look good for my skin color. And so that's why I like Thrive Cosmetics. Thrive Cosmetics has a full line of makeup to refresh your everyday look. With clean, skin-loving ingredients, their foolproof products make it easy for any skill level to apply. Their Brilliant Eye Brightener can be used as highlighter eyeshadow combo that makes your eye look effortless. It comes in 16 buildable shades to choose from and play with. Their easy-to-use Infinity Waterproof Eyebrow Liner helps you achieve your ideal eyebrow look. It holds like wax and blends like a powder.
I love the waterproof eyebrow liner because most of the time I just do my eyebrows and walk out the door. I like having a nice little like finished look. It looks like I tried, but I really didn't. And I don't need multiple things. I don't need a brush and then a separate liner and then a separate color and blah, blah, blah. It's all one thing and it's great. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/bestfriends. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/bestfriends for 10% off your first order. And then, so the Comfort Suites was connected to Atlantis somehow. And Atlantis is this
yes.
huge amusement park, casino, aquarium, tour, yes. hotel situation.
Anything you want.
You can do it
at
Atlantis.
Anything you want can happen at Atlantis.
You could
We
snorkel.
Were sitting in a restaurant. Yes, you can snorkel in their aquarium.
In the aquarium.
But the ocean is right there. It's so crazy. We were eating lunch later, and I watched people on water bicycles,
kayaking,
people kayaking, paddleboarding.
It was so much.
Skipping rocks. I was like, there's too much aquatics happening. But then we had to run to Atlantis because the lady said we had to get our day passes before someone checked into Comfort Suites and took our day passes. Uh-huh. And I was like, that doesn't make sense.
No.
Because the date of check-ins are different. But we were like, nothing here makes sense. So we ran to Atlantis, couldn't drop off our bags at Margaritaville.
So should we do all our stuff to Atlantis? Had to leave. And we also got dropped off at the wrong building and then had to leave it with the bellhop. And then they're like, okay, go to this area to find a day pass. And that area was 15 miles away. We had to walk through all of Atlantis to find the activities desk.
And it wasn't labeled.
No.
We had to go downstairs into the beginning of the aquarium. And then while I was waiting, you tried to enter the aquarium and they would not let you.
No, because I didn't have my day pass. And the lady who gives out the passes wasn't there. No one knew where she was. She was missing.
Nope. She was missing. And then one of the other ladies goes and gets her. And then she finally comes back. No, sorry. No, nothing. She didn't even really look at our fucking Comfort Suite thing. She just gave us the day passes.
Because she was in such a rush because there was now a line behind us of other people who were waiting for their day passes. So she was quickly just like, here you go. Bye. So it didn't really matter that we had to rush over there. We were just like, whatever.
No.
We got our day passes. And we saw the aquarium. We walked around.
And then
we saw everything.
The wildest thing. We did 10,000 steps. And we really did was go to the aquarium and go to the beach. But that's how big it was.
Yeah.
But also, Atlantis isn't real. It's based on something fake. So it's filled with like fake hieroglyphics.
Yeah.
It was a trip to look at everything. I was like, this is literally nuts. There's fake lore everywhere.
Yeah.
They had some of the best fish though.
Mm-hmm. Really beautiful fish. Very cool fish. Some guy passed us because we were ogling the fish. Like, we're like, damn, look at that fish. That fish is beautiful. And we're like, we're being so silly. And then some guy rushed past us, was like, excuse me. And then he like stopped his tracks and goes, dude, look at that seahorse. And then his friends were like, yeah, man, look at that seahorse.
Yeah, it's a seahorse. Oh, man, we laughed forever. And then you had your first hot dog of the trip after we went to the beach. And we stood behind a man screaming at the workers.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, weird. I'm watching you, man. Don't drink my frozen funky monkey drink. And I was like, there's something inherently racist about a white man screaming at black people to not steal his funky monkey drink.
Yeah.
I was just like, it's just not a good look. And then he was like making out with his wife. Mm-hmm. And everyone at Atlantis was either on the brink of a divorce, honeymooning, but like they shouldn't have been because they should not have gotten married, or they just like really didn't like each other. It was wild. Nobody in Atlantis was pleasant or happy.
There was one couple that was in front of us when we were walking who the woman said something about going to some pool or something. And the husband was like, oh, what? which pool? To like, he was like, start screaming at her in front of their kids.
Yeah, he's like, which fucking pool do you want? There's a pool right fucking there. And then she gave him the finger. And I was like, should we be here for this?
This is bad. It was bad. People were not happy at Atlantis.
No. I think because it was too overwhelming. It was too big.
It was really overwhelming. And we went to the beach and asked someone to help us get some beach chairs. And he was like, oh, you want some chairs? And we're like, yes, please. And he goes, please. Whoa, that never happens. And we were like, yeah. Oh, yes, you're getting us a thing. We're trying to be courteous. And, mm-hmm. and I guess to imply the guests here usually do not say please or thank you or mm-hmm. anything of the like.
And then we tipped him and he was like, oh, wow. Thanks. I was just doing my job. And we were like, yeah, but like, thank you. And he's like, oh, wow. And then that's what we noticed. We were like, if we just said please and thank you, everyone was so nice.
Yeah. Yeah. People will help if you're just nice to them. But I think a lot of tourists don't recognize the people who work there as people.
No. And also, it is, you know, mostly black. So mm-hmm. I think it's interesting. Mm-hmm. So then we eat the nastiest meal of our lives at Atlantis.
Yeah, it was. Because they're trying to make it watered down and as basic as possible for all the idiot tourists who come there. And
yeah, there was like no spice, no nothing. Mm-mm. No salt, no pepper, nothing. Mm-mm. And then my chicken had this like goop on it that I couldn't figure out if it was mustard or not. It was really nasty.
It was nasty. And the Bahamas wants to get you drunk. They're always trying to serve you a drink and give you heavy pours because they drink themselves a lot there. But then I think they're also trying to get these tourists fucked up. And I was like, I don't need that much alcohol, please.
They're like, if you drink enough, you'll go to sleep and you'll leave us alone.
You'll stop asking me for things if you're drunk.
So then we move all of our stuff to Margaritaville and then our room isn't ready.
No, it's not. Oh, and there's a steel drum playing in the lobby when we're trying to check in. And it was so loud.
So loud.
We can't even get
louder. And then the man playing the drum let some other man who doesn't play the drum play the drum. And it was like, ding, ding, bing, ding, ding, ding. And we're like, is our room ready? We're like screaming at this woman. She's screaming back at us. Mm-hmm. And then there was never a steel drum in the lobby again. Ever after again. That day.
It was not like a regular thing that happened. For some reason, the one moment we're trying to check in and listen to pertinent information about our room, there was a steel drum performance. And then it literally never happened again. And we were there for like a week.
There was a big flip-flop in the lobby, which really got me. I loved it so much. And then we get to our room. It's great. It's clean. There's no sand because Comfort Suites had some. I thought it was sand on the floor. I decided to never look at my feet. Mm-hmm. You looked at your feet and it was not the color of sand.
Yeah, I was like, it's not sand. It's chunks of white. And I don't know what that is.
I think it was paint from the floor. Probably. I think they just like epoxied the floor or painted it with something that they didn't clean it first just mm-hmm. so it would adhere and it was paint chips, but I was like, I'm just gonna believe it's sand and I don't want to know anything else.
So our standards were already so low the lowest they could be. So when we got to Margaritaville, we were like, heaven, this is heaven. Which, and it was great. It was a great hotel, but we also were just like, anything. Please.
Anything. Also, I had started my period.
Yeah.
It was bad. And then our good friend Gerard helped us get our luggage upstairs. He later ends up in the hospital. He's our only friend.
Yes, yeah, so there's a front of house employee named Gerard who was really cool and he gave us suggestions on like where to eat and stuff like that. And we're like, mm-hmm. I was like, hey man, you seem very helpful. Literally no mm-hmm. one else has helped us this whole trip. Can I get your phone number? So if we ever need anything, you can help us out. He's like, oh, yes, absolutely. And then he was like, I got a driver who could help you out. And we were like, we absolutely need a driver because mm-hmm. we have tried to call taxis before and they either called us motherfuckers or they had to go get something to eat. So we would like to not experience that again. Yes, can we please get a consistent driver?
And he was like, yeah, it's hard here, of course. He was so nice. And we were like, are you going to Junkanoo? And he's like, I'm not going this year. I got stabbed last time I went. And I was like, good to know. Good to know. And we were like, well, maybe we'll go. But like, if we see some stabbings, we'll get out. And then, so then we meet our driver, Mr. Marley.
Mr. Marley.
Mr. Marley is great.
Yeah.
Mr. Marley starts pretty wild almost at once.
Yeah.
At one point, I was like, Mr. Marley, my dad is from Barbados and he loved eating sugar cane. Is sugar cane big here? Do people just like munch on it? And he was like, sugar cane keeps you hard. And I was like, what? I was talking about my dad. Why would you say that, Mr. Marley? I proceeded to go on about other stuff that makes you tired.
Yeah, it's like if you're with someone and they can't get it up, you know, give them some sugar cane. And we're like, that we weren't talking about that.
I was talking about my dear dad. Please stop it, Mr. Marley. But we went to this place called Latitude, which was great. Except we were like, we don't have a reservation. They're like, we don't know what to do for you. And so she was like, well, how about we sit maybe in the bar? And this lady was like, I don't recommend that. And we're like, but like, what if we wait and a table opens up? And like, oh, it's your time. And we're like, okay.
Yeah, it was strange. It was as if no one has ever come without a reservation.
Uh-huh.
Or I guess like stayed and then tried to get a table.
Maybe.
But I was like, there's a way this could happen. We'll just get a drink. And then if a table opens up, you let us know. And they're like, oh, okay. That might
okay, all right.
You might get in the way of the other people at the bar. And we're like, we're not going to hover on top of them. We're just going to get a drink and stand somewhere else. But then a table did open up.
Yes. And before that, the Bahamas, I've never felt prettier or like hotter because these men were like breaking their necks to look at me. Mm-hmm. The bartender, I mean, he was like 12, but he was like staring at me weird. And I thought it was just because I was like too friendly or something. But then he like gives me my drink and then appears behind me to give me the check because I think he wanted to confirm that my ass was fat. And then he just whispered, "You're gorgeous." And I was like, "What?" And I turned around and he was like, "You're gorgeous." And I was like, okay, thank you. Then he handed me the check and then just like smiled at me. And I was like, oh, wow. Okay. And then before we got to sit, we watched a lady almost die. She was old and she was like, she looked like she had consumption or something. She was like holding a napkin in front of her mouth and she was like, and there was two younger women on either side of her. And we were like, is she okay? Don't know. I don't know if she ever came back.
That, yeah, I guess I never
and then,
back.
No, she went and died of consumption. And then as we were sitting, there was a spill and nobody cleaned it up. They just put a sign over it.
Yeah, they put a slippery when wet sign on top of it. And I was like, it'd be faster and safer if someone just quickly cleaned it up. But no.
They said, no, this is Bahamas. We won't do anything that makes sense. So then we went to SLS and there was like a bar in the lobby that was a club.
Yeah. I was told there was like an upstairs rooftop bar, which I think there is, but they were like, oh, if you're a guest here, you can go up there, but no one else, which is, I guess that's a new rule. And then they're like, but there's this bar here and a jazz bar across the way. And the bar they pointed at was the lobby. And it like the lights were slightly dim, but not dim enough to be a club.
And then no, but people were dancing.
They were dancing as if it was a club. And I was like, why are you pretending? Why are you trying to make this work? You know you're in a lobby. What's happening? There's children here. There are children
people
there
are
also
to
dancing.
Check in. Yeah. There was people coming in with luggage trying to check in.
Like, what are you doing? Really, and then we tried to find the jazz bar. Wild. And same situation where it just felt like an airport bar where it was like, again, lights were too bright. And so, for some reason, people were convinced that this was a good option. And I was like, why?
Yeah. And then there was a casino there. It felt like Vegas. It was really fucking wild.
Yeah.
So then it's the next day. Oh, no. Then we go in the hot tub and the hot tub is cold.
We go back to the Margaritaville And we're and Gerard, our friend who worked there, was like, oh yeah, the hot tub is open all night. And we're like, ooh, okay. Which is kind of not true because the sign definitely said it was closed at 10. Yes. But he it was said, still open.
It was still open. You could get in it. He said, it's open all night. And it's like a movie over there sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
What? Are people fucking in this hot tub?
What kind of movie? A porn? Which also wasn't true because no one was there. It was so empty.
No, not a single person.
But probably because they also believed that the pool closed at a certain hour. Mm-hmm. And we were told otherwise.
Uh-huh. We get in the hot tub. It is like lukewarm.
It's lukewarm. Like, it's like that. Yeah. And then, I guess we just put our foot into the pool, and it was boiling.
You looked at the pool, and you were like, well, let's see what the pool's doing. And you put your hand in, and you're like, this is hot, Nicole. And then we stepped in it, and we're like, oh, this is like, it was like soupy hot. It was like, the pool was on a stove. It was so fucking hot.
It seemed like someone had made a mistake and put the wrong temperatures for the pool and the hot tub, which was great because we were like, well, then we're just going to enjoy this pool like as a hot tub. Mm-hmm. And it was great. We're just like floating around, looking at the view. It was so nice. Mm-hmm. And then eventually we were like, I think we're going to die. I'm so hot. My heart is racing.
Yeah, I was like, we got to get out of here.
I'm sweating.
Love starts with you. Show off your personal style every day with new Pandora pieces that set a shining example for the world to see. From big feelings to small messages and everything in between, beautiful hand-finished jewelry from Pandora radiates with your love from every angle. Create a look that's all your own with a unique mix of meaningful charms, or choose from Pandora's sparkling selection of timeless designs, perfect for making an eye-catching statement. With Pandora Jewelry's vast selection of rings, bracelet, earrings, necklaces, and charms, there's endless ways to love it, stack it, and wear it and share it. Style your everyday favorites with sparkling cuts, vibrant enamels, and playful designs, or truly make it your own with a personal engraving. Pandora Jewelry is the perfect way to share the gift of love with yourself and the ones closest to your heart. Shop now at Pandora.net. Pandora. Be love.
Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcasts that center Black voices. It's NPR Noir. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices as varied, nuanced, and Black as the country we reflect. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get podcasts.
So then the next day, we're like, is Junkanoo happening today? But it was not.
No.
It was happening that night at, I don't know.
We were told so many different things. Some people said midnight. People said 3 a.m. No 3 a.m. one was ever very clear about when Junkanoo was happening. It just was happening at some point.
So Mr. Marley gives us a tour and we go to the fish fry first.
Yes.
And to the lady who checked us in at the Airbnb's credit, delicious. It was so fucking good.
It was really tasty.
We tried conch, or I tried conch. It was very good, which is like their dish that they like. They usually have a conch salad, which is like ceviche, which is also really, really good.
Yeah. I had this blackened salmon, which I had salmon the whole trip, but that was like the best one I ever had at the fish fry, which was great.
And it looked good. I wish I had asked for a little bite, but I didn't think of it. So then he took us to the slave cannons that they used to defend mm-hmm. themselves mm-hmm. when slave ships would come. We saw mm-hmm. DJ Khaled's house. We got rum cake where you buy rum cake and then they make you go take a shot of rum. And the rum cake is so fucking good.
It's very tasty. Yeah.
Oh, so good. And then he made us get sky juice, which is essentially, it's kind of like a White Russian with rum. Mm-hmm. Or actually, no, it's condensed milk, rum, and something else. Very sweet and like really, really tasty. Mm-hmm. Then we went to the Queen's Staircase. Mm-hmm. And then...
That was pretty.
It was so pretty. Then Mr. Marley takes us to the ghetto.
The ghetto.
And that is Mr. Marley's words, not mine. He said, "We saw how the rich people live. Now we're going to see how the poor people live. We're going to the ghetto." So we go to the ghetto and pull up to a man pumping water. We are, I don't know, talking distance from this yeah. man. Not even a foot. And he rolls my window down and goes, "Do you want to take a picture of this poor person pumping water?" And I was like, I rolled up the window. I was like, "No, Mr. Marley, I think I'm okay."
Like, because I've been on tours in places where they're like, to show the social economic disparity in this mm-hmm. place. Here's how the rich people live. Here's how the poor people live. But from afar. We straight up drove into this neighborhood and we're right next to the people who live there. And he rolls his window down and pointed, "There's a poor person getting water from the one water pump in this town and getting it for his family. Want to take a picture?" "No, Mr. Marley, this no. is a human." We don't, yeah. we certainly don't.
We loop around to this woman. She's in a towel in her backyard. Mr. Marley stops in front of her and goes, "All right, that's a sour tree. You call it a lemon tree and a banana tree. And there's a woman in a towel." And she hears us and she like grabs her towel and like looks around and goes back inside because we're invading her home.
It was so weird.
Like, "Mr. Marley, we don't need this. We don't need this.
It was like, I guess, because I don't know if any other tours do that. I hope probably not.
I don't think so.
A peek behind the curtain. You're going to get something that no one else sees. But we were like, we don't need to be this close to it. People are living here.
That woman truly was like, this is how we, I know it never happens. She looks surprised
yeah.
that a taxi stopped at her backyard while she's in her towel. And then a man points at her and talks about her. And she truly was like, what? So then we leave the ghetto. Uh-huh. And Mr. Marley is like, "You want to get on some jet skis? I have my cousin." So we're like, all right. So we get to this, like, I can't even describe where we drive to.
I don't either. It's a place. I don't remember seeing a building. It was like a place where there were...
Yeah, it was...
Boat parts cars, were scattered about.
Rocks. Yes, boat parts. No full boats. My jet ski was lowered with a Honda Accord. And I was like, I don't... I think that's how you're towing jet skis around. Maybe a truck or something? A Honda Accord?
And these jet skis were well-worn. They were like...
Yes, they have seen better days.
The seats were kind of coming apart. They were just like well-used.
Yes. And before we went out, so you had the bigger jet ski and you were like, "Do you want mine?" And for whatever reason, because normally I'd be like, "Yeah, let me take the bigger one." But it looked newer. So I was like, no, you can have that one because I worry about my friend. Me, I'm tough. I can take anything. And the world said, "Bet." So we're driving on these jet skis that are beeping. Oh,
also, because they're beeping. They have a little red light is flashing and they're beeping. And the children, this is also run by children. Everyone looks, the boss looks 20 and everyone else is younger than that. And no one is really explaining anything. But thankfully, me and Nicole have been on jet skis before. So we didn't need like a whole tutorial, but they're like, "You get it, right?" And we're like, "Yes." And then and we were like, "Do we need to worry about this beeping that's happening?" And they're like, no, just ignore that. And we're like, okay. And they don't really tell us where to go.
No, they were like, "The ocean is left." And we were like, okay. And we're like, "Where can be in the bay? To the right." And we were like, "Oh, we definitely want to go in the ocean." And they're like, all right.
And I was like, "So are you coming with us?" And they're like, "Oh, do you want us to?" And we're like, "I mean, if you don't, we don't care." So yeah, we were like, care. peace out. We're going to go have an adventure.
So we go out. It's beeping. And then Sashir, before we like get super far out, goes, how do we know if these will like run out of gas? And I was like, they're not going to run out of gas. And then Sashir's like, let's go to that island. So we were truly the Christopher Columbuses of Bahamas, discovering islands that already exist. We were driving around. We're like 10, 15 miles away from where we started. And Sashir, for whatever reason, we were like, we should go back in. Oh, maybe it's because my jet ski started.
No, because we went to take a picture of ourselves. We were like having so much fun. It looks beautiful. Yes. The sun is shining on us. Yes. We've got to get a photo of ourselves.
Literally. In the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, and it's fucking beautiful. So yeah, we were like, let's go inland, get our phones out, and so we could take pictures. And then my jet ski's like, nyong, nyong, nyong. And I looked at Sashir and I was like, I ran out of gas. You go, should I stay with you? And I was like, no, you have to go get help. And I understand the thought to be like, no, I'll stay here with my friend, but I was like, We can't both just be here.
I know.
Have to get out.
But the idea of leaving you in the middle of the ocean really scared me. I was like, because it didn't feel safe to have you try to crawl onto mine. And then also,
no.
But I was like, I can't. And then we're just going to leave
this jet ski in the middle of the ocean.
I'd rather leave the jet ski than you. But
you're right.
I don't give a shit about that jet ski. It failed us. But I just didn't want to leave you out there. I can't, and like, I don't know, you drift out to even further out to the ocean. But I was like, okay, I can go fast. I'll just go back to shore, get someone, come back.
Why,
so
why can you drive away was the saddest thing of my whole life. I looked around and I was like, I'm just in the middle of the ocean. And while you were gone, I figured like, it's like anything really. If you give it a little gas, while you're hitting the on button, it will go forward a little bit. Mm-hmm. So like I got myself maybe like half a mile further inland doing that like every couple seconds before it was like, goodbye. Mm-hmm. And then
I also just kept trying to look back as I was going because I just wanted to make sure I remembered where you were exactly. And I was like looking, trying to find landmarks because again, we're in the middle of the ocean. There's nothing near you. So I was like, okay, we do have to pass a McDonald's and a Shell station. And I was like, just trying to make sure I knew exactly where you were. And then I get back to shore and I was like, hey, Nicole is still stranded out there. She ran out of gas. And they're like, oh, okay. And they shout to somebody else, like, go get a gas can. And so, oh no, there's no gas on the property. Cause again, this is not property. We don't know what this is. And so someone gets in their car to drive somewhere. Yeah, someone has to go drive somewhere to go get gas. And then the other guys are kind of standing around. And then they're like, okay, well, if you want to keep going, you can keep going in this Bay Area. And I was like, I'm not going to go have fun while my best friend is in the middle of the ocean.
Floating in the middle of the ocean. I have no control over the jet ski. I'm just drifting around.
And they're like, okay. They're like, you can just like go. And I was like, someone needs to make a move. I don't get on my jet ski, get a different jet. What's happening? We need to go get her. And they're like, okay. And so some child gets on my jet ski with me. And then we drive out really fast to get you. And that's when he decided to look in the front compartments of both of our jet ski. And he goes, oh man, there's no rope. It's on the shore. And I was like, why didn't we look for the rope before we made the journey? And his bright idea was to sit on the back of my jet ski and hold the front of Nicole's jet skis with his bare hands. And then he told...
And then Sashir had a... She drove so slow.
He told me to go really slow.
He could be like, more gas. No, too much. For a very long time.
And I was like...
And I was like, if we were going where we started... Because it took you like hours. 10 minutes to get back to me. I was like, this is going to take 100 years for this to happen.
And I was so flabbergasted. It didn't occur to me to be like, hey, we should just go back and get rope because that would be much faster than me going so slow across the ocean for you to manually pull the jet ski. And then eventually someone got an adult, thank God. And then he came out with a gas can and he was like, go to that shore, it's closer.
But so he went to before that they tried to fill my jet ski on the moving water before the adult was like, no, go to that little alcove over there. So then he pulls us to this alcove. This took a very long time. Mm-hmm. And then I get off the jet ski. They start, the adult goes away, and then two more adults come.
Two more children
and
come.
And then, two more children come. And then they're filling my jet ski while that kid, who P.S. has been saying the whole time, we only work for tips. Nobody will pay me. And I was like, yeah, I wouldn't pay you either. You're bad at this. And he's doing donuts on your jet ski while the other guy is filling the jet ski. And then you're holding the jet ski so it doesn't fucking float away.
Because the jet ski was still in the water, not tethered to anything. And he's trying, he has mm-hmm. a gas can in his hand, and the jet ski's slowly floating out into the ocean. And he's just like following it with the gas can, trying to fill it. And so I grab it to keep it stationary. And he's like, you don't have to do that. And I was like, I do, because
somebody has to.
What else would happen? You would just follow it further into the sea. And then the other kids truly having a joyride on my, which is also like, the issue was we didn't have enough gas. Why are you expelling more gas on the other jet ski? That is the only other option for us to get back to where we belong. And then finally it's full. He comes back with my jet ski. And then they're both actually having a joyride on the jet skis. And so we're just watching them.
Standing there being like, what is happening?
What is happening?
They come back in and the child goes, get on from the back. And I was like, it's shallow enough that I think I'm fine getting on from the side the way I've been getting on. And he's like, get on from the back. And I was like, hey, I'm going to get on this jet ski the way I feel comfortable, which is from the side. I get on fine. Everything's great. Then he tells Sashir to get on the back of my jet ski. And I was like, okay, she's going to get on. We'll share. Those two will share. The other two children have theirs. And then for whatever reason, that child who pulled my jet ski with his hands decides to get on in between Sashir and me. And Sashir sees what's happening and bails.
I just jump off. Because the whole thing is tipping to the side. I was like, well, this makes no sense. So I just get off to lighten the load. And he's still trying to climb.
To counterbalance it. And I just like grip the handles and try to lean the other way, but it's not enough. And I was like, oh no. And I just slowly fall over. And I'm like thrown from this jet ski. And it was like deep enough that it was okay. But had we been inland a little bit more, I probably would have hit my head on just the floor of the ocean. And then
you
were
fully submerged. You fully dunked into the water. And it was so crazy to watch because your buddy was so stiff because you were trying to turn, like, counterbalance it, but your body was just so like rigor mortis stiff. And you just, with the jet ski, fall to the side and plunge into the water. And everyone's just watching this. And I was like, I don't understand.
No, but the other two guys could have caught the front of it. The other guy behind us could have like stepped in and tried to pull it down. Not one person helped. And then I pop up and there's a man on the other side of the fence who's not on the beach, pointing and laughing at me. And I was like, I can't, this is not right. And then that child's like, get on the jet ski. And I was like, give me a second. He's like, get on the jet ski. I was like, you have to give me 1 second. He's like, get on the jet ski. And I was like, I'm just really pissed right now. So if you could just give me a moment. And then the other guy was like, hey, bro, chill out. And then was like, are you okay? Yeah. And I was like, finally, that's just what I just wanted someone to ask if I was okay. You had asked if I was okay, but I was like, one of these people I don't know needs to ask me if I'm okay.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm fine. We get back on the jet ski. We get back to the weird place. The guy who owns the company's like, uh-oh, did you get wet? And I was like, who, me? I'm not wet. This isn't water. What do you mean? And he was like, and then later he was like, oh, well, I was really asking if you got wet. And I was like, I'm soaking wet. Why did you ask?
Because he had no idea what happened. He was not a part of the calamity that happened, but you were dripping head to toe. He's like, uh-oh, did you get a little wet? Yeah, man. Fully submerged.
So angry. And then that child told him what happened. And then he like kind of yelled at that kid. And I was like, good, good. Mm-hmm. Everything he did was incorrect and bad. And then Mr. Marley was like, ah, well, that's how it goes. Yeah. I was like, okay, Mr. Marley, thank you. We paid also for like an hour or an hour and a half.
Yeah.
We did have a solid 45 minutes of glorious fun.
Yes. But they are, and they're just the way they justified it was like, we don't usually go that far or something like that. But it's like,
yeah,
you should at least have enough gas for the time
for
we were going to be on the jet skis.
Yeah. And also tell us how far we could go. It was wild that nobody said we went so far.
We went so far. Thank God we were close enough to shore. If we had gotten stranded by that island.
Oh my God. Oh, that would have been bad.
That would have been very bad. So I think we're going to have to put a pin in the rest of the story because there's so much. We'll do a part two.
Every day.
Every day was an adventure. Oh, man. We'll get to it later. That was maybe the first 2 days.
I think that was. So that was two and a half days in the Bahamas. We were there for 6 days. So usually we answer questions, but we didn't get to it this episode. But if you would like to ask us a question, we have an email address. It is NicoleandSashir@gmail.com. We also have a phone number. You can send a text or a voicemail or a voice note. And that's 424-645-7003.
We also have merch at podswag.com/bestfriends.
Ooh, guess what? If you like reading, we have transcripts of our new episodes. Check them out on our show page at earwolf.com.
Lastly, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. That is the easiest way to support this show.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, Nicole. Until next time.
Until next time. I really love the way that you said
Until next time.
Until next time. Oh, that got me good.
Same place, same time.
That's who we are. We release on Wednesdays, right?
We sure do.
Yes.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Have you ever wondered what the stars have to say about your favorite artists and writers? Listen to Stars and Stars with Issa, where I, your host and astrologer, Issa Nakazawa, read and interpret astrological birth charts of luminaries like W. Kamau Bell, Gia Tolentino, and so many more. You'll discover how astrology can unlock fascinating insights about these stars, and who knows, maybe you'll learn a little bit more about yourself. Listen to Stars and Stars with Issa wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.